This guy's voice has been heard more on Miami radio and seen on Miami television. And
this makes me smile.
And nationally, too. Ian Eagle was on the call for the Dolphins-Patriots game on CBS. He's going to join us here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Inexplicably, he's also a friend of the program. We don't know why he'd be slumming it with a couple of guys like us, big old national broadcaster. But here he is, Ian Eagle. Was it as much fun to broadcast the Dolphins' miraculous victory on Sunday as it was for us Dolphins fans to watch it?
It was. Guys, you do enough of these games through the years, you just presume you've seen everything. I've done 21 years' worth of NFL games at CBS, and my assumption is, all right, what's going to happen on the field that hasn't happened before? And this would qualify as something that was completely unexpected. It was sensational, and it will live on forever, no matter what happens the rest of the season. And obviously for Dolphins fans, the hope is that this is a springboard, that this now is just a step along the way for some other magical moments. But once 2018 is over and 5 years pass, 10 years pass, 20 years pass, this one will live on, much like some other indelible moments where you don't necessarily ask what happened next. It just stood out for just how spectacular it was at the time.
And your voice, obviously, will live on with it. Now, I don't know, are you critical of yourself? Do you go back and normally listen to a broadcast? Or have you been able to avoid all the replays of yourself over the last couple of days? What did you think of your call?
I haven't avoided them, no doubt. I've heard it synced up to the Titanic music. I've heard it.
Wait. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that. Hold on. I want to play that for you because I find this to be truly delightful. Hold on.
7 seconds left. Tannehill will throw it, and this will end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out!
I mean, it's tremendous. Do you love it with the Titanic music?
I'm flying.
You're the king of the world?
I'm the king of the world right now. No, it's one of those things, as a play-by-play guy, in that moment, there's no way to prepare for it. If anything, I can tell you quite honestly, my thought process was, end of the game, what are the headlines? The New England Patriots have won the division for the 10th straight year. They're going to the playoffs for the 10th consecutive year. Both are NFL records. The fact that New England finally broke the curse down in South Florida. Those are the thoughts that are swimming around my head at that moment. And, of course, you call the action until the final gun. But having called so many of these last-second attempts with hook and laterals and knowing that normally it's anticlimactic. Flags are on the play. There's bedlam. I came close. If you remember, I was doing the Miami-Pittsburgh game a number of years ago where it looked like the Steelers pulled it off on a last-second toss with Antonio Brown circling to the left, but he stepped out of bounds at the 13, and the Dolphins preserved the victory on a snowy Heinz Field. Those are moments that are close, but this one actually happened. So as a broadcaster, now you go through the mental checklist. Were you accurate in what you said? Were you coherent? Did you make sense? And most importantly, did you convey the emotion of the moment? If you are watching at home and somehow you're not jumping up and down as a Dolphin fan or in a state of shock as a Patriot fan, are you getting a sense of what the feeling is like inside the stadium? That's basically what you're going through mentally as that play is evolving.
And Ian, as we have those next-gen stats and all the metrics and all that go into these broadcasts now, I'm sure you know yeah. about it, but there was a 99.7% chance the Patriots would win after that field goal. And then you go down and we know what happened, like you're saying. We just listen to it. Is that good offensive execution? Is that bad defense? Or like a lot of people want to say, just plain luck?
Well, it's probably a little bit of everything you just said, Channing, but I think the one thing that stands out to me, having seen so many of those attempts through the years, that one was so crisp and so clean. So you have to give a lot of credit to Adam Gase and his staff. Apparently, they went through it, Boise, on Friday at practice. The fact of the matter is they were well-schooled. They had the right mentality. They had the right timing. And then they had the right angle. Then, in addition to it, and I'm sure it's popped up a lot over the last couple of days, you had Rob Gronkowski in the game. Bill Belichick sent him in thinking it's going to be a Hail Mary. Most people now react and say, well, how? Is Tannehill going to toss it that far? But Belichick, this is how he approaches it. Final play, get Gronk in there. He's used to jump balls. What he isn't used to is chasing down a faster player where he has to make a tackle. And that's exactly how this perfect storm ended up at the end of that game.
Ian Eagle is with us. He was on the call for CBS on Sunday, that Dolphins-Patriots game that will be indelibly etched in Dolphins fans' heads, probably Patriots fans' heads, for a long time as well. You've seen the Dolphins a lot this season. Do they have any kind of juice? Can they pull off a miracle playoff run? They've got Minnesota, Jacksonville, and Buffalo remaining.
Yeah, they're walking into Minnesota at the right time. There is definitely some upheaval there with the change in offensive coordinator. DeFilippo is out. Stefanski is in. Mike Zimmer at this point might be sensing that his job could be in jeopardy and needed to go to desperate measures. They're desperate. They did not look good on Monday night against Seattle. The offense is completely out of sorts, and Miami is riding this wave. You get the great Drake escape, and now you hope that this turns into something, that you look back on it, and it really did trigger something for this franchise. Tannehill, I give him a ton of credit. The way he handled himself after the injury, and how tough he is in general. And I know when you see him every snap and the scrutiny level in South Florida is high, and I get it. That's true in every city with the starting quarterback. But from afar, from a distance, to sit down with him in production meetings, I feel like there's been a maturity there. I do think him and Gase have clicked, and if you look at the numbers, the 21 games that he has played under Adam Gase, this team is 13-8. And it's not all the quarterback. I hate putting the record on the quarterback because you don't do that to the fullback, you don't do that to the outside linebacker, you don't do that to the strong safety. But there is a cause and effect, and I do believe that there's been greater command shown from Ryan Tannehill with Adam Gase as the head coach than in previous stints with other head men.
And Ian, to that same point, because a lot of fans down here, 7 years in with Tannehill, a lot of questions, and some people are saying he's playing for his job. Is Tannehill good enough? Is he that quarterback that can really make a playoff run, or is he a guy that you're going to float around at 8-8 with?
Yeah, I know. I know that's the $96 million question, which matches his contract. Look, the times that I've seen him, there have been flashes of brilliance where he looks like someone you can build with. And then there have been other times where the offense has been stagnant. Three games last year, you guys know it better than me. They had a chance to maybe make a playoff run. They were in a similar situation. They went 0-3. And it was a bad taste in their mouth going into the 2018 season. This was supposed to be the year that Tannehill got it together, and the right shoulder injury changed all that. You miss five games, Osweiler comes in, and all of a sudden the whole tenor of the season changed. Well, here you are. The smoke is cleared. You're 7-6. You're in the same spot. You have three winnable games on your schedule. In fact, if you combine the winning percentages of the three teams remaining, you're looking at 38%. For their remaining three opponents. This is doable, and I think it would go a long way. I wouldn't say this is fool's gold. If Tannehill and the Dolphins get it done over this final three games, to me, that does give you some hope going into 2019 that maybe this thing is starting to take form. And I know we look at Tannehill as a seven-year guy, and rightfully so, but considering the little amount of experience he had at quarterback prior to this, this is still, to me, a developing player. He's not a finished product. He's 30. I know, normally, quarterbacks, they're 30, that's it. You know what they are. I can't say that definitively with Ryan Tannehill.
Ian Eagle is with us. Now, he's a friend of the program. We have a mutual friend. I did want to take 1 second to mention this because our friend Alan Brown, I've told the story on the air before, he is the Director of Public Impact for the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. Alan was paralyzed diving into the ocean on a vacation years ago. Yep. And he's been tireless in his efforts ever since to help find a cure for spinal cord injuries. And Channing and I hosted a fundraiser, and Ian was kind enough to come on and promote it with us last year. This year, I happen to be going to a bar mitzvah that I cannot miss, but Channing...
I'm not invited.
I know. Channing will be there, though. Channing will be there, and Zach Krantz from The Morning Show will be there as well, and it benefits the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. It is January 26th. Sway Nightclub, again, same place that we did it last year. You can go to christopherreeve.org/sway2019. Channing and I'll tweet out info on it. But again, it's the 7th annual Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, and Channing will be there hosting it, and it's all put together by our friend Alan Brown, who I'm sure you could speak about for minutes, even though we don't have minutes right now, Ian.
Yeah, I felt my phone buzzing a lot, obviously, at the end of the game, as you can imagine. And I just decided not to look at it until I got to the airport and I cleared my head and changed my clothes and got ready for the flight. And I looked down, I have 108 messages, text messages, and somewhere buried in the middle of those was Alan Brown, who was obviously watching the game and heard the call, and then we ended up going back and forth afterwards. Alan is simply the best. It's really no more detailed than that than you need. That's who he is. That's what he's always been. And his efforts have been beyond what you could possibly imagine in his fight to bring awareness and to find a cure. He's everything that you hope for in a friend, and then beyond that, he's everything you hope for in an advocate. When people are down and when people need help, he's the one that swoops in and provides it.
He does. When you see an athlete go down with a spinal cord injury, he is on the phone or flying out to meet someone, and obviously it's something that he hopes will end in his lifetime.
We talked to Alan about the Ryan Shazier thing, yep, because there was just a video recently where Ryan Shazier is just now lifting weights, and Alan was a part of that. The Eric LaGrange, he was there last year. Yep. Yeah, he does a great job.
Well, again, the event is January 26th. It's at Sway Nightclub in Fort Lauderdale. We did it last year. It was a lot of fun. It raised a lot of money, and we're hoping that people can get involved again this year. And you go to christopherreeve.org/sway, S-W-A-Y, 2019. christopherreeve.org/sway2019. Ian Eagle, one of the best broadcasters in the nation, and he gave us a call to remember Dolphins fans. Just give us a little taste. What does the week have in store now for Ian Eagle? Because you're always doing stuff. Like, I imagine you're not sitting at Applebee's tonight throwing back an awesome blossom and waiting for Sunday to roll around. You've probably got 15 games in between now and Sunday.
No, you're 100% right. I'm not going to be at Applebee's tonight. I'm actually there right now. So
it's your office away from home. What is on your docket? What is on Ian Eagle's docket this week?
I got the Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers in the city of brotherly love. That's tomorrow night, and Thursday morning I'll fly to Kansas City for the Chiefs and the Chargers. A huge AFC West showdown that'll be for Westwood One Radio, and then get on a plane Friday morning and head to Minnesota for the Vikings and your Miami Dolphins on Sunday on CBS.
And you never get tired. I mean, it's a ton of travel. It's a ton of games. You love it.
I do love it. To say I never get tired would not be a fair statement. I do get a little bit run down, but the games help. Last week I had 5 games over the course of the week. In addition to the miracle in Miami, I had that Derrick Henry 99-yard touchdown run on Thursday night in Nashville, which I thought, all right, well, nothing's going to beat that. That was preceded by a Paul George buzzer beater in Brooklyn the night before. Then the Nets go to overtime Friday night in Brooklyn before I went down to Miami and beat the Toronto Raptors. So I'm running, but it's still a lot of fun, and I hope that I convey that on the air, because I want to be there. I want to be in the booth. I want to be courtside. And the last thing I would ever want anyone to sense in my voice is, man, does this guy even want to be doing this? Because the reality is I do. And hopefully that emotion does come across.
And I, we're big sports. We're big sports fans. We bet on a lot of games, so we watch a lot of games. And we watch you basketball, football, both sides. I just want to ask you how much time, because like you said, in a week you'll do five games. How many hours would you average that you prepare for a single game?
Yeah, the big key for me is getting ahead. So even this week, I know the Nets have three games next week, and I've got to get on top of that. I've got to do Lakers prep this week for next week. I've got to do Bulls prep this week for next week. I've got to do Pacers prep this week for next week. The football prep, look, I had the Dolphins last week. I have them again this week. That's catching a break on my schedule. So it cuts down on the physical part of making the boards and filling in the height and weight and age and school and what year they're in and what year they were drafted, how much money they're making and scouting reports. That helps a ton. But I haven't had Minnesota this year, so I had to start from scratch, and that began Monday morning at 8 a.m. It sounds like it would be a jet-setting lifestyle. It's not. You got to put in the work. You got to grind during the week because I don't want to feel any of the stress that would be assigned with not being prepared. So the night before a game, I never feel any angst because I know I've done the necessary work to be ready for it. And when crazy things happen, by the way, you throw all that out the window and you do the job in front of you. And that's exactly what took place on Sunday in South Florida. Do the job. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Live in the moment and try to broadcast in the moment as well.
But you're Ian Eagle. You've got a staff to make the boards for you. You're not making the boards.
Yeah, my staff, yes. they're dispersed all over the country. I have regional managers. No, I got nobody. It's all me, man. All me.
Right. All right. I don't believe you, but whatever you want. Whatever,
that's a G, man.
Whatever line you want to feed us.
They say if you want it done right, do it yourself.
Do it yourself. Yes, Ian Eagle, exactly. Great call Sunday. Again, like I say, for us Dolphins fans, that's something we will be hearing ad nauseum. I mean, it was just tremendous. So thank you for delivering that to us, and hopefully you can broadcast a Dolphins victory again this coming Sunday. Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, really appreciate it, guys. Always great talking to you.
Ian Eagle, one of the best broadcasters in all the world. Take a break here. We went a little bit long there. Take a break. It was worth it, and we'll come right back.